This message is given in the name of Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. That's right, Christ is risen. Alleluia. And today we celebrate Jesus' victory over death. However, Jesus' victory over death is simply the natural result of his victory over sin, which he accomplished by his suffering and death on the cross. That's why I've said on many occasions, without Good Friday, there would be no Easter Sunday. Of course, the opposite is also true. Without Easter Sunday, there would be no Good Friday. As the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Now, why does Paul write this? Well, simply put, the resurrection proves that Jesus is God. However, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then he was not God. And if Jesus was not God, then his death on the cross means absolutely nothing, because the Romans crucified thousands of people, and what's special about just one more crucifixion? My friends, what makes Jesus' crucifixion special is that when Jesus was crucified, it was God who was hanging on the cross. But why in the world would God hang on a cross? Why didn't Jesus simply crush his enemies? He could have done that with one word. The reason is that Jesus went to the cross willingly, because that is how he chose to save you and me and all people from sin. Jesus took your sin, my sin, the sin of all people. He took it to the cross, where he was damned in our place. Jesus was victorious over sin on the cross. But the victory doesn't stay on the cross. That victory flowed out so that Jesus was also victorious over death. Because Jesus was God, death could not hold him down. Jesus conquered death for us as well. So my friends, the death and resurrection of Jesus go together. The death and resurrection of Jesus are part of the same victory. You see, Scripture teaches that our sin against God is what causes our death. But Jesus suffered for our sin against God on the cross, and then he conquered death when he rose from the grave. So my friends, Good Friday and Easter Sunday are two sides of the same coin. With that understood, I now want to briefly discuss two more things in this sermon. First, I'm going to take a little time to explain some of the details in our first reading from Revelation chapter 7. And then secondly, I will then unfold the mystery. And the mystery is this: the Lamb now reigns. With that said, let's briefly examine our first reading from Revelation chapter 7. It's printed inside your bulletin insert. I would encourage you to follow along with me. Now, as most members of Concordia know, I've been preaching from the book of Revelation during this past Lenten season. And as most of you are familiar with, Revelation is full of symbols and pictures and images that need to be properly understood if we're going to comprehend the wonderful message of this book. So please follow along with me by looking at this first reading from Revelation in your bulletin. First, John gives us a vision of the final day, the day of judgment, when Christ returns in power and glory. Now John sees a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. You know, this reminds us that there is no place for racism in Christ's church. We are saved by grace, not by race. Jesus died for all sinners who are descendants of the first humans, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, who rejected God in the beginning because they believed the devil's lie. Just as we continue to listen to the devil's lies more often than we realize. However, when God saves us, we all become part of one big eternal family in Jesus. Next, John says that these saved people are standing in front of the Lamb. Now, the reason I say saved people is that there are some who will not be saved. Not because God doesn't want to save them, but because they don't want God's salvation. Some people deny the fact that they have any sin. Others admit they have sin, but they cling to it and don't want to give it up. Others know their sin is going to lead to hell, but instead of trusting in Jesus, they try to deal with it themselves, thinking, well, if I just do a few good things, then I'll make up for the bad things I like to do, and then it'll be okay. No. All these lies and more will lead people away from the God who loved them enough to give His Son for them. But by the grace of God, some people are saved. By the grace of God, through His Word, some people are convicted of their sin, and then through that same Word, they are brought to faith in the Lamb who was slain and now reigns and is our only salvation in view of the sin and the damnation we deserve. So these saved people are standing in front of the Lamb. Who is this Lamb? Well, the Lamb, as you know, is a symbol of Jesus. In our gospel reading, Jesus was referred to by John as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In our second reading, the Apostle Peter said that Jesus was a Lamb without blemish or defect. Now, there are many other Lamb scriptures I could quote for you if I had the time, but the question is, why do they call Jesus the Lamb? Well, if you read the book of Genesis, where we hear about the beginning of all things, you will see that from the very beginning, after the devil tempted Adam and Eve to reject God, we see that the Lord required of His people that they offer animal blood sacrifices as pictures of the future Savior who would die to save us from our sins. Now, as people heard last night, one of the most common sacrificial animals was the lamb. The lambs had to be male and without defect, both of those being symbols of Jesus. But remember, these lambs were only pictures. The reality is found in Jesus, the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by His sacrificial death on the cross. Now, John goes on to say in our reading from Revelation that these saved people in front of the Lamb were wearing white robes. These white robes are symbols of how their sin had been washed away by the blood of Jesus. As John later writes, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In addition, we're told that these saved people were all waving palm branches. What does that remind you of? It reminds you of Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus entered Jerusalem and people shouted, Hosanna! And if you were here on Palm Sunday, you remember I explained how Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means save us. So it's no wonder that in our reading from Revelation, these saved people sing, Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Next, John describes a vision of angels, elders, and living creatures. Very briefly, these are all symbolic of various living things that God has created. Angels, humans, animals, all worship God, their Creator. Later on in verse 14, if you look there, one of the elders says that the people in white robes have come out of the great tribulation. Now, what's that? Well, simply put, the great tribulation is life in this sinful world. If you haven't suffered trials yet in your life, I promise you, you will. We can't avoid it. Life in this sinful world is a great tribulation. However, when we believers die, we get to depart or come out of this great tribulation and go to be with Christ. And when we are with Him in spirit, we await the resurrection of the body and eternal life in the new creation that God will give those who are saved on the final day. With that said, the last three verses of our reading from Revelation describe eternal life in the new creation. It says we will serve God and we will bask in His love forever. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more pain, no more tears. In fact, later on in Revelation, in chapter 21, we are given an even greater description. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Now we're ready to conclude the sermon by considering the mystery. The Lamb now reigns. The Bible says that our crucified and risen Jesus is victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the devil. But my friends, this is truly a mystery. Why? The reason is that sin, death, and the devil all seem to be alive and well, don't they? Consider sin. All over the world, and right here in Jamestown, there are people who care nothing for God and His Word. They have nothing to do with church. They live lives of unrepentant sin, hurting themselves and many people in the process. However, there are also others who seem to be nice people. They go to church and do good things in the community. But they too are lost because they either deny their sin or they think that they can overcome sin by themselves by doing a few good works. Such people fail to realize that our only hope of salvation is faith in Jesus' good works for us. Therefore, those who fail to trust in Christ, no matter how good they think they are enslaved by their sin and have no hope. But then, there's us Christians who have been saved. The Holy Spirit has worked through God's Word to convict us of our sin and to give us faith in Jesus. Therefore, by God's grace, we do repent of our sins on a daily basis. We do trust in Jesus on a daily basis. With God's help, we strive to live as His people. However, if we're honest, even we Christians must admit that we struggle with sin every day. I know I do. No matter how hard we try, we rebel against God every day by our desires, by our thoughts, by our words, by our deeds. So if Jesus is victorious over sin, why is there such a struggle with sin in our lives? Next, consider death. In spite of all our advances in medical science, in spite of all our attempts at living a healthy life, the death rate remains the same for all people. 100%. Every week in the Jamestown Sun, there are obituaries. And one day, sooner or later, your name and picture will be there. People die for a multitude of reasons, but the fact is that we all must face death because of our sin against God. Finally, consider the devil. The Bible says that our real battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, those Islamic terrorists whom we can see they're nothing compared to the devil and his demons whom we can't see. And these evil foes want to terrorize us for all eternity. The Bible says that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, how does the devil devour you? He devours you by getting you to feel comfortable about your sin. He devours you by getting you to feel apathetic about the Word of God and worship. He devours you by getting you to see no need for Jesus and His Word. Sadly, the devil is devouring a lot of people lately. And what's worse is they don't even realize the horrible fate that is happening to them. So with that said, how can we possibly celebrate the fact that the Lamb now reigns? How can we celebrate the victory of Easter when sin, death, and the devil seem to be stronger than ever? The answer is that we live by faith in God's Word and not by sinful sight. You see, my friends, regardless of what we see, the victory has been won. However, the victory is hidden to unbelieving eyes. But the eyes of faith can see the truth revealed in God's Word. First, the Lamb now reigns in victory over sin. The victory is there. Sadly, though, those who cling to their sin and reject Jesus reject the victory. That's why we must continue to speak God's Word to them, that the Spirit might bring them to their senses. You see, my friends, you are saved because the Holy Spirit used God's Word to convict you of sin and bring you to faith in Jesus. And because you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus, you are no longer condemned by your sin. You see, even though you continue to struggle with your sinful nature every day, just like I do, the good news is that Jesus' shed blood washes away the guilt of your sin and clothes you in a white robe before God. You see, I don't wear this white robe because I'm a good person and I'm better than you. I'm just as much of a miserable sinner as you are. The reason I wear this white robe is to remind you that I'm white before God because of the blood of Jesus. And that's your only hope too. On the day of resurrection, God will give you a new body without sin. But until that day, you are covered with Jesus' perfect holiness. Jesus has conquered your sin. The Lamb now reigns. In addition, the Lamb now reigns in victory over death. You see, just as Jesus died, but then rose from the grave, you who trust in Him can face death with the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life with God. Once again, sadly, those who die without faith in Christ have no hope. And that, again, is why God wants us to witness to those who don't yet trust in Jesus. But you who do trust in Jesus, you do not have to fear death. Listen to what Paul writes at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why a Christian funeral is a time of hope. Even though the tears may flow, we know that what we see is not what is true. Instead, what we believe is true. That He is the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in Him will live even though they die. Finally, the Lamb now reigns in victory over the devil. My friends, the devil cannot hurt those who trust in Jesus. Sadly, those who think they can get by without Jesus will be devoured by the devil now and for all eternity. And what's sad is that many of these people don't even realize they're being devoured. That's why we need to share God's Word with them to help them to see the truth. But if you trust in Christ, you do not have to fear the evil one. My Christian friends, the devil cannot pry you out of Christ's hands. The same Jesus who died for your sins, the same Jesus who conquered death for you, He will also keep you safe from the devil's deceptions. On the final day, the devil and all who belong to him will be cast into the lake of fire. But until the final day of the devil's doom, we are safe in Jesus, the Lamb who now reigns. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The Lamb was slain for you. The Lamb now reigns for you. And what does that mean for your life now and every day until Christ returns? In closing, listen to these words of Paul from the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Lamb now reigns. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Lamb who was slain and now reigns for us. Amen.